Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ. We've been talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. And we're going to just pick up where we were talking last week. We've been talking about the aspects of our temperament, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and how even though God gave you exactly the temperament he wanted you to have, he did not provide you that temperament to give you the life you need. That's supposed to come from your spirit. Without access to eternal life through your spirit being re-enlivened, you had no choice but to use your bodily, your natural life, and your soulical life. Now that you've been born again and you've been born of spirit, you now have access to eternal life and don't need soulical or even natural life to give you the life that enlivens your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Now, obviously, we take care of our body and we take care of our soul. But that's neither are the source of our life. Our life now comes from spirit. So we don't ignore our mind, our will, and our emotions, or our body. We take care of them and are good stewards of our soul. But we don't look to our soul for our identity, for the answers to our questions as to why am I here? Instead, we look to God. We look to the Spirit, our spirit joined to his spirit, to find out our meaning, our purpose, our connection to him. And all those come from encounters with him, experiencing his love for us. It's not the answer that gives us satisfaction. It's the encounter with the answerer. We've talked many times about your purpose, my purpose, which is to know God, to become one spirit, soul, and body in him, and that he gives us projects to do here on this earth to accomplish that goal. So we all have the same purpose, even though it's worked out on an individual basis for each one of us. But that doesn't, knowing that in your mind or in your will, looking for something to do, okay, if I just do this, I'm on the right track. Or your emotions, well, I feel his presence. He gives me peace. He gives me rest. Again, in your mind, okay, that makes sense. None of those are going to give you the satisfaction and contentment that an encounter with God himself will give you. This is part of our problem in trying to share our beliefs with others. Because our belief is not a system. It's not a belief system. It's not a logical dissertation or tangible proof that we can present, hopefully. Hopefully we're not relying on words or even actions. The more you and I spend our time focusing on God Himself and the projects and the purposes, the purpose that He has put us here for, He draws others to us in His time. So we find that balance through training and practice. And there may be times in your life where He's drawing you out, for instance, into the marketplace to be around other people. And there may be times when He wants you to withdraw from them and say no a lot. There's going to be ebbs and flows according to the training that He has set out for you. He will have you ready for whatever He has for you next. But whatever He has for you next is very likely to be a surprise, because He's not interested in you being ready so you don't make a mistake. He wants you to be ready for what's next because the training is effective. When we think about what a Christian life looks like, most of us don't have a really good idea of what that is, because we think of religious activities. So when we think about the simplicity of devotion to Christ, what it looks like to truly be a follower of Christ, there's a lot of aspects that we can just sort of cross off. This is not what Christianity is. A lot of things we do, a lot of places we go, a lot of words we recite don't give life. And in fact, they can keep us from enjoying His presence simply because they take so much time and they give us the false notion that we are encountering Him. And we often get that false notion because we experience in our mind, our will, and our emotions that suits our temperament. For those who are strong in mind, when, for instance, we're attending a church and the pastor makes a good argument, we may have an aha moment. Oh, that makes sense. And we may misinterpret that as an encounter with God, when really all it is our mind reacting to something that may be true. So it's not necessarily about the truth of something, but are we encountering it from spirit, or is it soul to soul? Likewise with the will. We all want something to do. Here, if you do these steps, if you're tithing, if you're giving to certain missions, if you're showing up on a regular basis, if you're participating, if you're loving one another, there's a list of things to do. If you're doing these things, then you're a good Christian. And we may experience a sense of satisfaction because we can check things off that list. Likewise, emotions. This is especially something to look at when music is involved. Emotions are easily stirred for both Christians and non-Christians by music, which is one of the reasons most, you know, church services start with music. to stir up our emotions and get us into that focus where we can listen to the teaching. And very often we do have an emotional response, but is that an emotional response to God, or is it an emotional response to the music? And there may be times when God puts you in these situations just so you can discern the difference. And this is not to, God made our mind to be able to discern truth and to reason and learn wisdom. He created our will to make choices and to be active and to control our time. And he gave us our emotions to respond to music, to feel deeply, to be expressive. So these things aren't bad at all, by any means. But when we substitute what's going on in our soul for an experience with God, that's when we shortchange God's activity in our lives, which, of course, we don't want to do. So last week we talked about our mind and how our mind, the strength of our or weakness of our mind will, over time, interfere less and less with the expression of our spiritual nature. And this is true for our will and our emotions as well. As the more you see your soul as a part of you, but not your identity, not who you really are, you'll start to be able to more easily identify and evaluate the activity in your soul. And as that happens, you begin to be less and less responsive and controlled by your soul. So when God says, this is the truth, the way, this is really what's going on, we will be able to say, but God, this is what I've always believed. But I see that's what's in my mind. That was something that gave me comfort. That was something that made sense to me. I don't understand what you're saying, but I see that it's from spirit. I can test it and know that it's from you. And even if I don't understand it, I can accept it from you and embrace it. And we can do that throughout our soul. So this is why it's important to be able to distinguish over time through his training the difference between our spirit and our soul. Again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your soul. God loves your soul. He gave it to you. It's special to him, and he wants it to be special to you as well. But it is not who you are. So what about our will? Our will is what we choose to do. It's your chooser. And we've talked before about how we think we have free will. And if we give it two thoughts, we quickly come to the conclusion that no, we don't. Your soul is not free because your soul still has wounds, still believes lies. There is still connection or lack of connection, disconnect from the spirit. Your soul is still in the process of recovering, which is under God's control and what the training is all about. So we don't need to worry about the process. We just recognize that We can only choose between the options that are available to us. And since we only need, know, like two choices, when there's really 100, of course our will is not free to choose the other 98 that we don't even know about. So your will is still basically broken, damaged. God is healing it, and we cooperate with him with that. But it's in bondage. Can't be in bondage and be called free. Now, will it? You ever have free will? Yes. At some point in time, God will finish his work of healing your soul and bringing your soul into complete unity with your spirit. And that's when it's free. It's freely joined to choose according to spirit and not on its own limited information. So, again, we don't limit or try to evaluate what is going on in our will. We have this idea that God judges us based on what we choose to do. And really, what God judges us on is, are we in him or not? Have we been reborn spiritually or not? So for our will, we put so much pressure on our chooser that we really, for ourselves and for others, when we start to back off and let God choose through us and start to free our chooser for ourselves and for others, and realize others don't have the choices just as we don't. Go over your own life. Are there things you'd wish you'd, decisions you'd that wish you could do over? Do you look back and go, if I'd have known this, that, or the other thing, I never would have made this decision. I would have made a different decision. Well, you made the best decision you could. And to think that because you only had a limited amount of information at any given time that you could possibly make a decision that you're going to have to stand by for eternity is misrepresenting how much God loves you. That's true for you. Isn't it true for everyone? That you and I, we're going to have a hard time evaluating for others the choices they make when we can't even evaluate our own choices, because we are limited in the information we have, the ability of our will, because of the wounds and the lies and the history. So bottom line is give yourself a break. And give others a break. So what do we do, how we treat the will? When we think about ministering in the supernatural gifts, how do we look at our own temperament in learning about the supernatural realm? We understand that the will is not a reliable source of action. We need to go beyond what we want to do in any given situation and be open to, okay, Lord, you tell me, what do I do here? Now, he teaches us judgment, and he teaches us habit, and he's training us. So there's a pattern there, but it comes from him. And sometimes he puts books in our way and teaching and training and teachers. But the bottom line is, what is he saying? What is God training you in right now? So when we hear from God, some of us have no trouble acting swiftly on the direction we hear from him. And some of us don't want to hear from him because then they'd have to act. And then some hear from him and have fear, don't want to act, can't believe it's him. So many different, it's a range. But whatever the reaction, we need to temper whatever we hear or think we should do by testing it with God. Most of the time, he's not in a hurry. There's going to be times when he's going to stretch us and want instant response. But that's usually going to be built on long-term relationship. And it won't be, again, it's not testing us to see us fail. It's because we often learn more from failing. And you are his prize. You are his pleasure. It's not what you can do for him or protecting his reputation. It's because he loves you and he wants you to become whole, spirit, soul, and body. And we've agreed to that process. So we rely on his training, taking us through step by step, stage by stage, test by test. Remember, Jesus called Peter out of the boat during that storm to walk with him, because Peter needed to overcome his own cautious temperament. And we see that throughout his life, Peter was often challenged to act based on the Lord's direction rather than what he believed to be true. Many families and ministries have been injured because no distinction was made between the desires of the spirit and the desires of the soul. We've all heard stories of people who've acted on what they believed was the word of the Lord for them, and they got married or moved or quit a job, sold their house, all different kinds of things, even with the encouragement from those in authority over them, only for disappointing consequences to follow. Now, sometimes this was, you know, exactly what they needed as a wake-up call. But sometimes, because they didn't understand what was going on, they didn't learn what was and the intended consequence of that training. And very often they became bitter and felt and blamed God even. You know, I got this word from him and it didn't work out. What did I miss? He's a liar. You know, how come nobody was there to counsel me? And we look at other sources rather than going, okay, Lord, what did I miss? And learning from it. He certainly does not mind us making mistakes, as long as we take those mistakes to him and look for the solutions from him rather than trying to figure it out ourselves or undo the decision we made. And, of course, one of the problems we have is we look up to people and we're told that they have authority because they hear from God more, they have a higher anointing. And yet we haven't the foggiest idea if they are experiencing freedom in their will or not, or whether they are just relying on counselors, their family, their own mind. We are not, often not privy into how do they make decisions. Now, in the one sense, that's great because that, again, reinforces that we need to hear from God. But it also reinforces a definition, or we need to discuss what is a leader. When we can't see the process, can we really trust a leader? And is that what God wants us to learn, that he is our leader? He brings people into our lives, certainly, to be good examples, hopefully, but not to take the place ever of God himself. We turn to him first. So it's not surprising when you really step back and look at it that God is very often using publicly or even personally those who have become content because they have learned to depend on God and have those needs met, learn how to choose through dependence on him, aren't afraid of making a mistake or doing things correctly because they know where their life comes from. They know where to go to get healed. They know God. They are content. They are content to do whatever God calls them to do, to choose to go to the left or the right. Either way is fine because they know God loves them, and whatever is to the left or to the right is good for them, whether it's an easy path or a hard one. And if God chooses to take us in the hard route, that's fine because he's there. It's not to punish us. It's not to make things harder. He's leading us in a path for our good. For instance, Moses' temperament made him quite content to spend his days tending sheep. Yet he knew the Lord's voice when he heard it. He tested it, then he acted on it. And that was in the Old Testament, when God only revealed himself externally. But now we are one in him. We hear him 24/7 in our spirit. So now God calls us to act despite our temperament, not because of it. We don't have to be distracted by our temperament, by our will, whether it's strength, a strong will or a weak will. We can simply be trained to, when we hear the Lord to say, this is the way, walk ye in it, we can simply respond, okay, here we go. And if we find that way hard for us, fine. If we find it easy for us because of our temperament, fine. It doesn't matter either way. And that's what we're looking for. It's not a reflection on whether our will is too strong or too weak or not, or good or bad. It's neither. When we hear him say, this is the way, walk ye in it, we go. So we'll pick it up here next week. And as usual, if you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. It's always great to hear from you, and I do appreciate your comments, your feedback, and your questions. And thank you for your encouragement as well, especially as we go into the new year. We'll always looking forward to seeing what the new things that the Lord is going to be doing. So have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed new year. Thanks again for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a good night.